Check out our website at www.thefantasyamateurs.com.
On this edition of the Nasty Cast, we try to find injury replacements for a whole slew of injured players, discuss the Rays' bullpen, check the temperature on some players that are new to baseball, and play hit it, quit it, or just, you know, kind of sit there and don't do anything with the guy. What is this, a fantasy baseball podcast?
Yes!
That's all we talk about on this podcast is interesting things. Jesse, go toss a potato.
Here lies Joe. He died wearing braces.
Be interesting when she has her heavy flow at times.
It's not Nick Nolte.
That damn dirty ape.
You're going to blow Arkansas?
The Hindenburger cheese.
We follow the golden rule.
I'm in a league with the Pope.
Could have been an accountant.
Replace the baseballs with hand grenades.
Thor, he's like Jesus, but for people from Norway.
Eating ain't cheating. Welcome to episode 77 of the Nasty Cast Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by thefantasyamateurs.com. I am Nathan Dokken. You can find me on Twitter at Nathan Dokken, and I am joined via Skype today by a man who doesn't like ranch, Joe Osachi.
I think we've talked about this on the show before, but yeah, no, don't like ranch. Ranch isn't good. Some people just over ranch things. Jesse probably does, if you ask me. Like dipping their popcorn in it and stuff like that, like gross. Some things just don't need ranch.
Yeah, I'm not into the whole ranch popcorn thing.
But meanwhile, though, somewhere also out in Skype land is the Steven Adams to our Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. It's Jesse Jordan.
You've basically just called me the MVP, so I appreciate it.
And I'm going to later kick you in the balls.
I was wondering which one that was. I thought I was going to say he was the ball kicker.
Nope, that's Draymond Green.
That is just completely rude.
Although
speaking of getting kicked in the balls, I watched Idiocracy the other night while I edited a show.
Is there a lot of balls kicking in that? I don't know if they kick a lot of people in the balls, do they?
That's like the show. Like, there's the show that they watch on the movie is like about a guy who just
kicks
all the time. And he actually comes out to sing the national anthem for when they're going to kill the main character off. And spoiler, at the end there, towards the end, and he
God, we
sing
suck
the national anthem, and a guy
show.
Sneaks out of the crowd and walks up behind him and clubs him right in the balls. That's pretty humorous, if you guys remember.
Classic.
Yeah. It's like, that's almost as bad as you spoiling the Bible for us.
Oh, yeah. Spoiled the Bible?
I believe you did.
You did,
yes.
It was
Joe who spoiled the Bible.
No, Joe spoiled Star Wars.
I can start spoiling stuff again if you guys so desire.
No, let's not do that.
I can't remember. I did Star Wars. I did Seven. I did
OKC,
I did the new Star
game three.
Wars.
Huh?
I said OKC won Game 3 for all those people out there who have Game 3 recorded. They're going to be so upset now that they know.
I'm sure there's a lot of people, because you want to build a couple games so you can watch them both back-to-back, you know, binge it.
Yes, that way sure. You watch. Yeah, you record all 7 games, or 6 games, or whatever it takes. I mean,
it's all the rage these days, the binging.
Everybody likes to binge the NBA Finals. Yep, that's what people do.
It's not what they're about.
That's why you went back and watched the
1994. That was a really long pause there.
What's your favorite thing to binge? Email us, thefantasyamateurs. No, that wasn't good enough. Let's see.
Cocaine. That's my favorite.
Huh?
Cocaine. That's what I binge on.
Okay. Yeah, see, that could kill you.
Well, the music. You know, the song?
Oh. Who sings that?
Eric Clapton.
Is it? That's what I was going to say. It didn't seem right. What's your favorite Eric Clapton song? Email us, thefantasyamateurs@gmail.com, or tweet us at fantasyamateurs. And go to thefantasyamateurs.com if you want to buy a lovely Nasty Cast t-shirt. And if you got a spare second, please rate and review the podcast on the iTunes. We will love you forever.
The t-shirts are selling like hotcakes.
They are. Jesse just shipped one out.
I did.
as opposed to shitting one out.
I did almost poop one out today. I felt like I pooped out the world.
We should set a threshold for the number of reviews it will take to get you to tell the Jizz Bandit story on the show. Like once you get to 50 reviews or something.
For how many times we've brought it up, you think someone would have emailed in and just said, we'd like to hear about the Jizz Bandit. But
nobody knows the magic of that story. That's why they, I don't know. Apparently they don't care because they don't know.
You'd think it'd be a little bit more tempting than that.
Just,
you know,
just like, you know, when Jim Carrey finds out that Einhorn's a man and he's in the shower and he's puking. And that's pretty much what I did when the Jizz Bandit happened.
Yeah.
Fink, if you want to know why, review the show.
There you go. All right. We're going to hop into the news.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, in baseball.
Right. Shin-Soo Choo was activated from the disabled list this past week, and he recorded 2 plate appearances before he got hurt again. He went back to the DL with a hamstring issue, and the Texas Rangers have recalled Joey Gallo from the AAA. So, Joseph, give us your thoughts on the Gallo, the triumphant return. Because we weren't drinking the Kool-Aid so much last year. Have you changed your tune?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably not, but I don't know. I did look at his minor league stats just before we started recording, and this year in the minors, he was really, really improved his strikeout and walk. He's like striking out 22% of the time, walking like 20% of the time. He was not that good in the minors last year, so perhaps he's figured something out. I doubt it, just because I kind of think he is what he is, an all-or-nothing power guy. But if he's out there, even in like a 15-team league, he's worth a pickup, just because who else is going to come up and potentially hit 20 home runs the rest of the way or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's the thing, is like we've talked about with Delino DeShields, I don't know how long he's going to stay up because of that. How crowded that outfield seems. You know, even still, Ian Desmond is just killing it. And so when Chu gets back, it's going to be him. And Nomar Mazara, I don't see them getting rid of him anytime soon. He just keeps hitting the ball. So, you know, obviously Adrian Beltre at third base, so you can't put Gallo over there because that's where he came up, is third base. Now he's playing the outfield. So, like you said, with the strikeouts, he's basically cut his Ks in half from last year. He was an unplayable 39.5% strikeout rate at AAA last year. He's down to 22% this year, almost even walk-to-strikeout ratio. So that's why I think I'm even a little more optimistic. I think I would add him in even shallow mixed leagues for the time being, like as long as he's not in your season-long plans. If you just have a hole to fill, like for example, the 10-team Baseball for Dummies points league that we're in, I dropped a couple fab bucks on him just because I had some of these guys we're going to talk about today. I have like all of them somewhere. they all had the DL, so I had some holes to fill, and so I think he's got as much.
You upside. Even added Gallo in the points league, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the strikeouts are obviously terrible. But he does walk a lot too, so that balances out a little bit.
Well, you know, if you really believe that what he was doing in the minor leagues is going to continue even to a tiny extent, then yeah. He could be great. I don't know that. I think he could be improved this year. I think, you know, the older he gets, he'll figure out. I think he'll probably have a couple great years in the big leagues, and then he'll fall off a cliff when the bat speed goes. But so it could be as early as this year. But I guess. 10-team points leagues are probably where I would draw the line.
Well, yeah, I mean,
there is some upside.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, if he does have, and you know, if he maintains his walk rate, which I don't see why he wouldn't be able to. I don't necessarily know that he'll totally fall off. You know, if he can still get on base, he could at least, you know, have some semblance of worth in mixed leagues. It's really encouraging seeing the huge strikeout rate decrease. So I'm definitely more optimistic on him. And unfortunately for Jesse, because we talked about this way back in the off season, but he basically he was offered a guy who's playing in Japan now for Joey Gallo.
This was where all the confusion started for me with what was the Twins guy's name? Eddie Rosario. Yeah, it all stemmed from this, because that's who I thought he meant. And then, anyway, so that's
but it
who
was
I,
Willen Rosario.
It was
yes.
It was also Harrison too, from Pittsburgh.
It's, yeah, Josh Harrison, who's...
But then, know. Yeah, there was a little bit of mix in there, but, yeah, it was based around Gallo, and deal was approved and everything. We both accepted, and then the commissioner reversed it based on the fact that we didn't know who was coming back yet, and he was worried that one of us was trying to just sell off our teams or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't really understand.
Because you hadn't, because not everybody in the entire league had paid for their league dues yet, and this is, wasn't it January that this
yes.
happened?
It was a long time ago.
It was like,
so I mean, if you're going to do that, then just don't allow off-season trading.
Agreed.
Yeah. You got hosed on that deal, buddy.
I did.
Yeah, that, I'm not even in that league, and that drives me absolutely insane. That's horrible.
Thank you.
Yes, so I commiserate. But yeah, so I am drinking the Kool-Aid on Gallo this year. You know, I haven't necessarily, I guess I haven't, you know, read any beat writers reports or anything for Gallo. I don't know if he retooled his swing or something like that in the off season. You know,
no, I hadn't heard anything about him until I just decided tonight to look at it. And yeah, I mean, when you look at the numbers, they're crazy. So I mean, the minor league numbers. So he, whatever he's doing in the minor leagues this year has been working. So we'll just see if it can translate. And if it does, even to, you know, a small extent, then I mean, he could be a huge add if he can even come close to what he's been doing in the minors.
Well, yeah, his AAA numbers are—I mean, they're genuinely eye-popping. 22 yeah. walks, 24 strikeouts, and 8 bombs, which is good for a 373 ISO.
It's crazy, and I hadn't heard a word about him.
No, me neither.
Yeah, so I mean, I had no idea he was just destroying AAA like that. So. Yeah, I mean, if he's out there, pretty much, yeah, I mean, for sure, 12. If you know, like, some, you know, I mean, I guess I can't really disagree with Nate. If it's a 10-team roto league, absolutely. So yeah, just go. He probably is out there, and you probably should go get him.
All right, another guy hit the DL, Alex Gordon, Kansas City. He has a broken wrist. He's going to be out 3 to 4 weeks. And Chesler Cuthbert has been recalled. So what do you think of him, Joe?
I'm not sure he's a real person.
Oh, he is.
Is it really Chesler or is it Chester?
No, it's Chesler.
That's way better than Chester. I didn't like him as Chester Cuthbert. I think as Chesler Cuthbert, I might be able to get on board.
See, I'll never forget him because Mike told me the story once about how someone once offered him Chesler Cuthbert and Hakju Lee for Xander Bogaerts.
Oh, and he didn't take it?
No, he didn't.
Such a it's always hard to deal with him. You can't. Can't offer him two pieces of garbage for one of the best prospects.
He's completely irrational.
Mike once offered me Burt Reynolds for like Buster
Posey.
He thought
he said Buster Posey, yeah.
I took a picture of that because it's the greatest trade offer I've ever seen.
That is pretty funny.
Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a great offer all around. So
what this boils down to basically is Chesler Cuthbert as good as Xander Bogaerts?
I don't think so.
No?
No. His numbers in the minors are fine this year, you know, and then he comes up to the big leagues and he's pretty much sucks. Strikes out 21% of the time, walks less than 2 so far. I mean, he's probably a guy, you know, probably a quad A player or a utility infielder, you know, a bench bat. He's nothing. He's a nobody.
Yeah, he's still young, so, you know, maybe in time he could, you know, he doesn't strike out that much.
I just don't think we have enough time.
good call back to a different podcast.
Yes.
Completely. yeah, I have absolutely no interest in him in any league. Well, AL only, obviously, but...
Mike did try and throw him into that crazy Joey Gallo, Clayton Kershaw deal we were making. He's like, "Well, if you need a third baseman, I got Chester Cuthbert." And I was
yeah.
like, "Yeah, no."
It is definitely a made-up name.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's a pass for both of us. And Lucas Duda, moving on, another guy who I own in a bunch of leagues, he will miss 4 to 6 weeks with a back issue. I didn't write down what it is here. I can't exactly remember what it is. I'll look that up. But who are we looking to replace him with, Joe?
Just specifically on the Mets or just all around the land?
I was thinking that we would scope out the rest of Major League Baseball for a first baseman that is perhaps owned in under 40% of leagues.
You want to go 40, huh? Well, I just was glancing at
the... What threshold do you want to use?
I don't know. 40's fine. I was just glancing around, and I saw, you know, like the way that Yahoo sorts players now, they put the hot guys at the top with the most ads, you know?
Sure.
In your league. And I noticed Carlos Beltran, 50% owned. He's an outfielder, obviously, so unless you're playing dude in utility, it ain't going to work. But, I mean, Carlos Beltran, despite the fact that he's not hitting for a good average, he hit another home run today. Guy's on fire right now, so, you know, he'd definitely be worth an ad if he's out there just for a utility spot. Surprised he's only owned at 50% just because he's on a hot streak, and until he gets hurt, he'll be good.
He's on a heater.
And he will get hurt soon enough, so don't worry about that.
Sure.
Of the under 40% first baseman, Ryan Zimmerman is still out there. He's definitely someone, you know, if you're in a 10-team league or 12-team league, and Zimmerman's out there, I'd for sure make that ad, because not that he's been great or anything. He hit a homer a couple of days ago. It was an inside-the-park home run, but, you know, it all counts the same.
He just hit a home run today off super ace Matt Harvey.
There you go. So, yeah, that'd be a couple guys to throw out there right off the top of my head.
What about don't be a bitch at Mitch Moreland?
He's having a pretty bad season, and it's kind of getting worse as the season goes along. I can't say. I'd probably, like, looking at the other names that are out there, I'd probably take Mike Napoli over him. He's about the same amount ownership-wise. I mean, Moreland is 5-for-31 his last couple weeks, 278 OBP, 0 home runs, 1 RBI. He's just not producing right now, so...
It's not good. One guy that basically profiles almost exactly the same to me as Lucas Duda is Justin Bour out in Miami.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Can't hit a lick versus lefties, but he just absolutely mashes righties. And, I mean, that's the same profile with Duda, basically. And Marlins' offense has been surprisingly good this year, even while Giancarlo Stanton sucks balls. So
he hit a home run today. That's all we talk about.
Did he? Oh, wow.
He did.
He's been really cold.
Yeah, I know. But he did. Yeah, he homered today, so maybe we'll snap out of it a bit. But yeah, so it's some decent names out there, guys, that'll hit you some home run. I know, well, this is definitely a worse option, but Brandon Moss is up to 8 home runs now as well, so an all or nothing power guy there. But he doesn't play every day, so that would be the problem with him. But so there's a couple names.
Alrighty. Trace Thompson has been, that came out kind of weird. Trace Thompson has been making a name for himself in L.A. What's our luck for him?
I don't know what that impression of. It kind of sounded like Adam Azer's whatever that name is.
The guy from Ferris Bueller saying Jock Peterson.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
Jock Peterson. Trace Thompson.
Anyway, what's your question about him?
Does he suck?
No. You know, I picked him up last year.
You sounded so offended when you said
it kind of does. Well, we're definitely, there's nothing we can say about him that would sound anything like the incredible optimism that Paul Spohr was talking about on Fangraphs. I don't know if you heard that one.
Oh, no, I have not.
Good Lord. The first thing they said, they were talking about dropping, like, I can't remember what the first name they threw out there was, but they, you know, dropping like Kevin Pillar and a lot of really good players for Trace Thompson, basically. I think he's a good player. I think he's hitting over his head in the power department right now. 7 homers already. I don't think.
Well, I mean, the fences in the outfield are typically taller than a normal person, so the ball would be over his head.
True. So, I don't even know what to say after that. Entirely.
I'm sorry.
I like him as a player. I liked him when he was with the White Sox, because he was one of the few minor league players that I owned in our Dynasty League that anyone had ever heard of.
That's actually probably the only minor league player I can even think of that you were on before I was.
Ooh, yeah, and I don't know how it happened, really. But, yeah, I'd been stashed in the minors, and then he came up last year, and he just barely stayed under the threshold, like by like a game or something, like four or five plate appearances. So I was able to keep him in the minor leagues, but then the Dodgers right away kept him as a bench bat, basically. And I just didn't know if I could keep him on the bench, and nobody, I offered him in a couple trades, and people weren't all that interested. And then after I dropped him, he immediately started hitting a home run every day, and now he's been picked up, and now apparently he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. But I don't know that the playing time is going to be there for him consistently, but at the same time, he's kind of outplaying everybody else in the Dodgers outfield.
Yeah,
these creaky old weirdos they got out there.
They're creaky.
Yep.
That's how their knees all sound while they wobble over to the DL. Because, yeah, they've got Van Slyke on the DL. Andre Ethier, he's nowhere close to returning, I don't believe.
No, he's out for a while yet.
Yeah. And, who else? Alex Guerrero, he's going to be coming back shortly. But he doesn't, they might not even play him in the outfield.
Who knows about that guy? Yeah.
They seem to hate him there.
I wouldn't worry about him taking playing time away from Thompson at this point.
No. Yeah, that's what I thought. I was the highest man on Trace Thompson at this point. I've been singing his praises for Fantastics on the radio show and everything. So, by the way, I work for Fantastics. I should plug myself.
You probably should.
Go. I haven't done that since I got my job. Go to insiderbaseball.com. I have a blog there. Subscribe and all that fun stuff. And I'm on satellite radio on the weekends on Sunday. So listen to that. But, I mean, really, he's like an all-around dude. I mean, there's really no holes in his game at this point. He's just solid. He's got speed that he hasn't even tapped into yet. A couple 20-plus stolen base seasons in the minor leagues, 20 home run power. You know, I don't necessarily think that he's going to steal 20 bases in the majors, but 10 to 15 over a full season wouldn't surprise me by any means.
Yeah.
Play discipline looks good, making good contact. I mean, there's... I can see why that Spore would say him over Kevin Pillar. Pillar's been struggling this
year. There was another name that they said that was way crazier than that, and I can't remember. Pillar was one that they got to, like, down the list. They started way higher, and he was considering him, but I can't remember who it was.
Okay.
Go ahead and tweet us what it was, but yeah, like that'll happen.
Yeah, so I mean, if he's out there, I mean, he's standard mixed league viable as far as I'm concerned. Because yeah, I think he's earned himself full time at bats at this point. Even when he hasn't showed any splits either. You know, Van Slyke, they typically only play him against lefties. And Van Slyke, Thompson's been hitting everybody, so I don't think they'll even necessarily platoon him.
Yeah, and he can hit the tray.
Hit the tray. Yeah, that's true. He would. I mean, he would get schooled by Clay though.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think that was probably the main reason that I was on him, is just because of the fact that he was Clay Thompson's brother, and, you know, I'm a big NBA fan as well, and I thought it was cool.
Oh!
What?
Oh, John Segura just got freaking pegged in the face. Oh, God. Not my boy.
Like at the plate?
Yeah, with a fastball right in the dome.
I did suggest that last week.
What's that?
Watching Major League Baseball is... as disruptive as watching Game of Thrones nowadays.
Yeah, I don't. I'm just sitting here in my computer room looking at Fangraphs, doing the podcast.
Let's talk about Game of Thrones for an extended period of time, shall we?
That's the BS segment tonight, so we'll just wait till
no,
the
it's
end.
Not. You guys can talk all you want. I'm hanging up.
Oh, thank God. Segura's alive.
I could probably go on a 3.5-hour podcast about Game of Thrones.
We might just have to do a separate podcast on Game of Thrones.
So anyway, I was excited about Trace Thompson because he was Clay Thompson's brother.
Right.
Yeah. You guys are normally more, you know, resistant to me just trying to interrupt and change the subject. It was like you were just going to go along with that.
Well, I kind of felt like, and by the way, Trace Thompson. Ridiculous 31.8% home run per fly ball as we record this.
That's why I said his homers are a little bit over his head.
Like, oh yeah, of course they're over his head. The fences are too high.
That's not how I sound at all.
They had pretty much a spot on impression, but yeah, I am bummed though, because had they not traded him to the Dodgers, he would be on my team in the dynasty. Because I thought. Like I tweeted Rich Wilson about it. I'm like, what do you think? Is he you think he's a starter this year, or do you think he's a fourth outfielder? And he agreed. He thought he's a starting outfielder. And without the trade, I think he would have gotten a shot to start for the White Sox. And it would have been just as good there, except on my team.
Of course.
Yeah.
Or Joe.
I know.
All right. Well, we'll move on to our next little tidbit here. Kevin Kiermaier has broken his little hand and will be missing an extended period of time.
He's going to be missing.
You're going to be missing. It's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I also hope you forgot.
At first it was funny. Now it's annoying.
So then I should keep doing it until it goes... from being annoying back to being funny. That's the way
it goes. Yes, that's the key. In this case, I think you need to stop, though, because That is really, it's really going to be unlistenable to do that.
I suppose. Well, I actually threw Angel Pagan in there too because he just went to the DL with a hamstring strain. So I figured we'd lump these two outfielders together and ask who can we replace them with? Obviously, the aforementioned Trace Thompson would be a good starting point, but who else is on your list, Joe? Where do you have the list?
I did already throw out Carlos Beltran for the previous one, so he's 50% owned right now. I would do that, unless we're supposed to go under 40 in every scenario.
Oh, we can do a little more under-owned than that.
Well, okay. You mean over-owned, or is it under-owned?
Under-owned, I would assume.
So who are we replacing now? We're replacing Kevin Kiermaier?
Kevin Kiermaier and Angel Pagan, and or Angel Pagan.
Well, we probably should go a lot lower, considering those guys were pretty low-owned, if you think
about it. Yeah, they're deeper league guys.
If I'm probably in their range, or they're probably 20 to 25% owned, I'll give you a name that's in that range. Oh, now I lost it. Leonis Martin, 21% owned. How does this guy have eight home runs and seven steals? I don't know. But he does. So
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but you know, if you're looking, you know, the DL replacement, lightning in a bottle, you could do worse, I guess. You know, if he's hot for a little bit, good enough, especially if it's this short of a time frame that you're looking for. Yeah, Trace Thompson, Yahoo anyway, he's owning only 15% of leagues. Yeah, if you're just looking it does actually. I would agree with that. If you're just looking for straight up power and a guy that will impress Jesse Jordan by owning him, there's always Adam Duvall in Cincinnati.
That's true.
He's got like 8 homers, so it's not a bad option.
I love that guy because I drive.
I know you do.
As a when he was still in the minors.
I'm impressed.
Part of my first ever dynasty draft of all time, and look at him. He's gonna have double digit homers.
I would hope at this point.
Double digits. My God.
He might get to 20, and then you're really not going to be laughing at me.
He could hit 20. I traded him to Jesse as part of the Ryan Madsen deal.
Oh, yeah. I told Joe, hey, the only way I'm going to make a deal is if Adam Duvall is involved. So he just tagged him on.
Well, I had picked him up like the day before. I mean, I'd only owned him for like 2 days before I traded him, so...
Way to go. Yeah, he is like sort of the perfect fifth outfielder, especially in standard leagues. His play discipline is atrocious. You know, doesn't walk, striking out about 30% of the time. But in standard batting average leagues where he's still going to hit hopefully 240, 250, and you know, if he stays in there the rest of the year, he could finish with 25 bombs.
Yeah, it's not a bad option. Brandon Guyer would be a actual real Rays replacement. He might get to play a little bit more. Dude's on fire right now as well.
So. Oh, we're going to talk about him. In our second segment, so don't put the cart before the horse, Joe.
I won't put the horse before the cart or whatever the hell you just said.
You place the horse first, you place the horse, and then you place the hitch, and then you follow that with the cart.
And then you throw a bag of oats in the front, and off you go. Slap that bad boy in the ass, and it's as good as his go-kart.
Slap the ass in the ass?
You got it. Jose Ramirez, your boy's only... So there you go. I don't know. Do you got anyone else to add that I didn't name?
Jose Ramirez, baby. 2 home runs yesterday.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yahtzee.
It's a great game.
You're all welcome. I think you pretty much nailed the names that I'm seeing here that really interest me. I guess if you're desperate for steals, there's always Gerard Dyson floating around in some leagues. But yeah, otherwise, I'm not seeing a whole hell of a lot. That's
Rajay Davis is out there a lot of the times, and he's got like 12 steals right now.
That's true. Yeah, Rajay Davis, he would be a good one. If you need power, Derek Dietrich is not a bad option. Another guy who won't play against lefties at all, so he's only part-time guy, but he's eligible at a bunch of different positions.
Third and outfield and corner and stuff. I've been owning him in the podcast league, and he's nice just because he doesn't hurt you. You know, he doesn't play all the time, but like it's, you know, like I said, Mitch Moreland is like a 250 OBP for the last 2 weeks, but Derek Dietrich he's not gonna put up a ton of counting stats. He didn't play a lot, but his ratios are good because they don't play him a lot. So yeah,
precisely.
Yep.
All right, so I'm gonna list off a whole bunch of guys here.
A bunch of guys,
and you're going to tell me if you're interested in any of them in fantasy.
Okay, answer's no to all of them.
Shut up. We're going to start off with two guys that the Astros called up this past week, Colin Moran and Tony Kemp. Should I go through the whole list or should I go one at a time?
Nah, just go two at a time.
Let's go one at a time.
Let's go two at a time.
No, we're going to do one at a time. Colin Moran. Yes, sir.
I kind of like him. I liked him when he got drafted in Miami. I thought he was going to be, you know, not a superstar, just a really solid player. Good batting average guy, good defender, you know, a little bit of power, maybe 20 home runs. This is all based on what I thought when he was drafted a while ago. I haven't looked at him lately or what he's been doing in the minors, so I probably should. But I liked him at the time he was drafted anyway, I'll put it that way. So I think he could be a solid player, definitely not a star, though.
Yeah, he's not too exciting to me for fantasy purposes. Not a lot of speed or power. Like you said, a lot of batting average, but that's about it.
Batting average guy.
Tony Kemp.
I don't know anything about him. What do you think?
Brother of Matt Kemp. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, man, the basketball comparisons continue.
Yes. I just thought of Detlef Schrempf for some reason. I don't know why.
Stud, yeah.
I love that guy.
Oh, God, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, Kemp, he's only going to play part-time. He's got a lot of stolen base ability, so there's that. He's in the lineup today. I guess I haven't looked at what he's done. He's super cheap option on DFS, hitting ninth in the order.
What? I said he was 0-for-2 with a walk, by the way.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah, he sort of profiles as like a utility bat long-term. I don't know if he's going to get a whole lot of run right now, so he can't. To me, anyway, he's not worth rostering outside of like really deep leagues. Steven Moya, as Anthony Gose was demoted a while back for having like a near 40% strikeout rate. Steven Moya got called up. So, you like him?
Good name. I don't know if it's really that good of a player. Holy cow. I just pulled up his page. 34% strikeout rate, 0% walk rate. So, that's 26 at bats. It's meaningless. But, yes. I mean, he wasn't walking in the minors either. 4% under 4% walk rate in the minors over 31 games. The previous year in AAA in 2015, he walked 5% of the time, struck out 30% of the time. I'm going to say pass.
Yeah, he's another guy. I just don't.
And apparently, what's his name is on fire, Cameron Maybin. So, you know, I don't know where.
Oh,
the
yeah.
What?
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's a little bit higher on now, and deservedly so. He's just, yeah, he's been on fire since he came off the DL.
Well, so playing time-wise, I'm saying, I don't know if they got room for Moya out there.
No, yep, I agree. He's only going to see part-time at-bats at best. So, I mean, outside of very deep leagues, he's not going to be worth your time. He is a guy who I did hear worked on his swing a lot in the off-season to cut down the strikeouts.
Well, quite frankly, he needs a little more.
Yeah, it hasn't really worked for him too well.
Watch him come up and just dominate, and I look like an idiot.
Well, he can't strike out much more than Anthony Gose did, so.
Yeah, that's true. He just, you know, how was it, like maybe 4 or 5 years ago when everyone thought he was going to come up and just be a stud?
Gose?
Yeah, in Toronto. I mean, he's a perennial tease, that guy.
That's right. That's how I like him, just like my women perennially teasing. Eduardo Rodriguez is nearing a comeback.
I don't know what his health situation is. You know, like if he's going to really be ready to go or if he's going to have nagging injuries this year. But I was kind of into him at the beginning of the season as a really cheap late round option, kind of forgotten man out there. You know, he was pretty sexy player last year, bringing the sexy time. And everyone kind of forgot about him. Obviously, you love him.
I do have him on the DL. I've stashed him in a couple leagues this year. Really didn't think when he had that knee injury in spring training. I mean, initially,
yeah, I didn't think he'd be out this long.
Knew he had a setback. I mean, he initially they're like, oh, he's gonna be out a couple days, and then they're like, well, maybe he's gonna be questionable for opening day, and then they're like, yeah, no, he's not gonna make opening day, and now he's missed almost 2 months of the season, and it's gonna be 2 months, I think, by the time he gets back. He's not been very good in his rehab starts. Frankly, we talked about this on the SiriusXM show, and the guy that hosts the show, Lou Blassi, he lives, I believe, he's up in the north.
Classy Lou Blassi.
That's him. Yeah.
Is that what you call him? Because you should.
That's a bit of a nickname of his, I believe. Yeah. I haven't called him that myself, but
your last name is Blassi, and people don't call you Classy. You must be a real D-bag.
But he was talking about how his velocity has been down, you know, in his rehab starts, and he's kind of been getting crushed. And so what the Red Sox have done now is they strapped a knee brace on him, and apparently, from what I've heard, that's helped him be more confident in the knee, and it's helped with the results and everything. So hopefully now he's going to be, like, you know, within a week or two of cracking that rotation again. Of course, now you had Joe Kelly, who, for the love of God, I keep yelling at the Red Sox, just put him in the damn bullpen, but they keep starting him. And he actually was really good the other day. He had like 6 2/3 scoreless innings that he pitched. So really, the weak spot,
not no hitter, if I recall.
It was, yeah, he took a no hitter into like the sixth inning, and with Steven Wright killing it. I mean,
he's not doing anything wrong, that's for sure.
Nice. I mean, the Clay Buchholz is the weakest spot in that rotation right now.
Oh, for sure.
As weird as that is,
it's not really that weird.
I guess not when you think about it, but still, when you compare him to Joe Kelly, I figured they'd at least be a horse apiece. But
yeah, or Steven Wright, yeah.
Yeah, so they might even, because you can only be on a rehab assignment for so long, so they might even option him to AAA.
He's got 4 starts already in the minors, so I don't know if those are all rehab starts, but I'd assume they are.
Yeah, well, so they might just leave him there, you know, until somebody just dies in the rotation. So even when he is...
Yeah, I mean, and even if Buchholz doesn't actually get, you know, demoted due to sucking, they might give him a DL suckitis or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Pitching this bad because he's injury prone.
Well, I mean, yeah, Buchholz, really, it's just a matter of time until he actually is injured and he's out.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll get really hurt soon enough.
Exactly.
If they don't want to pretend that he's hurt, he'll actually get hurt eventually. So.
Yeah, so I've been tempering my optimism for Eduardo Rodriguez's return, sadly. You know, so yeah, we'll see. But in deeper leagues, you should still hang on to him. 15-team mixed leagues, I would say he's going to be worth owning.
I agree.
Okay, so he's really the only one that we said yes.
Yeah, basically. It's more speculative with him. I mean, he hasn't really earned a damn thing yet. I mean, he hasn't proven anything. But I still think the talent's there. I like it. I like the stuff. I've liked him when I watched him.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's been still working on, I believe, that changeup to try and you know, keep the batters off balance so it's just not fastball slider all the time. Okay, our last bit of news. We're not even going to bother going into or doing the whole closer calamities because we've only got one bit of news here in the bullpen since we really just recorded a show a couple days ago.
Yeah, that's true.
The box is coming back.
The box is back.
Box is back.
We sang that at some point.
The box comes back.
The very next day. Joe, did you ever watch that? The Cat Comes Back? I sent you the link.
Of course not.
Oh my God, you're such an asshole.
I won't watch Game of Thrones. I won't watch The Cat Comes Back.
I watched The Wire for you. Bullshit.
You're really mad that I won't watch Game of Thrones, aren't you?
I'm not watching another NBA game until you watch The Cat Came Back.
You guys, I'll try and find that stupid cat video, but I ain't watching Game of Thrones. I'm skipping like the first 2 quarters of Russell Westbrook, my favorite player in the world, dominating to record this silly podcast here, so the viewers should thank me.
Okay, so
I'm so into the Western Conference Finals this year. God, I'm loving it. It's a great series.
Ugh. So the box is coming back. Could be as soon as this week. Will he close when he has returned, or will Alex Colome, who has been ridiculous as a closer, will he remain in the role?
There's no reason to take Colome out, but everything that the Rays have said is that they will. So, you know, I don't know. How's that? I don't know.
No, I mean, that's basically what I was going to say, too. I mean, yeah.
They probably should. Like, if this was 2014 Boxberger, you know, if he comes out like that, then yeah, he's a closer. And Colome, you can probably use as a 7th, 8th inning guy. And you know, he's maybe your better reliever, so maybe it's better to have him more flexible and blah, blah, blah. But if Boxberger's like he was last year, he's practically, you know, I mean, he had 41 saves last year, but, you know, 137 whip. He was barely striking over a batter per inning. You know, in 2014, he struck out 104 guys in 64 innings. You know, that's a dominant reliever. Last year, it wasn't the same. He was a good reliever. He was fine, but he wasn't that guy. He was whip ballooned from .84 to 1.37. So, you know, I don't know how good he is anymore. He's a guy that I loved, but a lot of it was based on that 2014. So We'll have to see how good he really is, if he can bounce back to what he was back then. And if he can, then, you know, then he's a great closer, and Colum A can be moved to the 8th and the 7th, and, you know, the fire, put out the fire guy. But if not, I mean, if he's going to pitch like he pitched last year, even if they do put him back in the closer role, I don't think it'll last.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you have both of these guys, hang on to Colum A. Even if you don't have Boxberger, I would hang on to Colum A for sure. Way back when he first was inserted into that role, like in spring training, when we were,
you know, he didn't get a save. He didn't get a save for what, like the first 3 weeks. You know, like the only save they got went to like Erasmo Ramirez, and it was like a 3-inning save, and like, you know, they were like, well, the Rays being the Rays, and now pretty much Colum A is just operating like a traditional closer. So another team that says it's going to use a committee, and then a guy is good, and then they use him every day.
Yeah, I got his 12th save today, and 2-inning save, in fact. And that was one of the things. Not only was he, you know, one of the reasons I was so high on him, not only is he starting pitcher, relief pitcher eligible, which is convenient in some leagues, they've been occasionally using him in multi-innings as well.
Yeah.
Kind of like with Andrew Miller, which made him so valuable.
Yeah. Occasionally.
Occasionally. Definitely.
Well, Andrew Miller was valuable all the time. I mean, he was more than occasionally valuable. That's not what I meant.
Yeah, well, you meant with the extra innings, right?
Yes, he occasionally would be used there. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, I know what you meant. I guess I don't think the listeners probably didn't. Or are they viewers at this point? I can't.
Yeah, let's table that.
Okay. We're going to table this podcast, actually, and come back after break. Alright, we have returned, and we are going to play hit it, quit it, or just, you know, kind of sit there and don't do anything with the guy.
Yeah, it's way better this way. I think we finally found it.
Okay, good.
I offered you, remember the very first time you did this thing, and you're like, we'll do buy, sell, hold, we'll call something different. I think you did it with, what's his name, the first time when I was gone. Sorry, Chris McBrien.
McBrien, yes. Yeah. Hey, so, by the way, The Nasty Cast bump worked.
Thank you
to all the what the hell are they called out there? The Bucketeers that helped nominate Dear Mr. Fantasy for a podcast award this year.
I do think we should probably get most of the credit.
Definitely. Well, I congratulated them on their Facebook page, and you know, McBee did totally credit us.
He did.
I seen it.
We are going to have a very special, we always say we're going to do stuff, and then we never do it anyway, so who knows if that's what it'll end up being, but we're planning on having a special podcast award episode.
We are?
Well, we had spoke of it. I was thinking that's going to be like mid-season. Since we knew we weren't going to get, you know, nominated for anything, because we're kind of just a podunk little podcast, so we're going to make our own highly arbitrary award show. Where we all win ourselves.
Oh, like the big greatest host in the history of
we're gonna
the
like
best bald host in podcasting, and I win.
Well, there'll be like suspense. There'll be like drum rolls, and then we'll announce, and then there'll be acceptance speeches, and it'll be awesome.
It sounds awesome.
Totally.
But what I was actually gonna complain about at the very start of that was, you said, you know, do you like that? Should we do that? You know, is that a good idea? And I'm like, yeah, no, I don't like it at all. We should never do it again. And now we've done it like 4 weeks in a row.
What is Joe doing here trying to, like, get us back on track? That's not his job.
I'm sorry. I'm just – I want to go watch basketball, so I got to get us back on track.
Well, you might as well wait until halftime. I'll tell you when it's halftime.
If you tell me the score, I will kill you through the internet somehow.
I'm not going to. I just got done watching Dwayne Wade drink some Gatorade, though.
Okay, well, you can spoil the commercials if you really want, yeah. But I said, you know, we don't need to do buy, sell, hold. We can do, like, we can pick these hot players, and then we can play fleas in the closet. And we can, you know, decide what's the fleas in their closets. And we would have been able to take the clips from Gray Albright when he made up a phrase that no one had ever said in the history of the world, and it would have been hilarious. And then we never did that.
No. Well, I mean, that involves Jesse getting his clips.
Yeah, but what the hell happened, Nate?
That would involve a lot of work.
It would not. You'd go to one episode and find, like, two clips of the guy.
I've given Jesse at this point about 450 clips for the intro.
And it's still the same.
It's still the same.
Do you remember me suggesting that, Nathan Dokken?
Yeah. Well, Joe, there's still time.
All right. Well, we got to do that at some point.
We'll work
on that. I think there's at least one viewer out there who liked that episode.
There's a lot of fleas in your closet, Joe.
That was one of my favorite episodes.
You just need to get over it. So.
Nate, do you agree with that? Was that not one of the best episodes we've ever done?
Obviously.
I laughed a lot. I wasn't there, was I?
No.
No.
That
episode sucked.
That was easily one of the best ones we've done.
It was one of the best ones, like, listening to it. That was the one where I made that I look like an idiot because I didn't know Eddie Rosario and who Eddie Rosario was.
That's right.
But yeah, great Albright, best guest we've ever had. No offense to the other guests we've ever had that are great as well, but he definitely was the best, and that was like my favorite episode we've ever
done. If we could have him on every week and do a weekly show with him.
That would be what we would do.
Life would be great.
Kick myself off the podcast to do it.
Right. All right, so hit it, quit it, or just, you know, kind of sit there and don't do anything with the guy. We're going to start with Danny Valencia, a Joe favorite.
I love him.
Moving on.
Okay. I mean, you know, I I'm almost pissed because it was we did the third base show and we got to like the dregs or whatever, and you're like, you know, anyone else. And I did say, you know, Danny Valencia, you know, he's pretty good. He really improved last year. He hit 18 home runs. He's hitting cleanup, you know, like, what's to complain about? Like, he's pretty good. Like, for the price, he was basically going undrafted. And I backed off because there was maybe I should just never listen to Sleeper in the Bust again. I like that podcast, but I'll have to unsubscribe. Because they were saying, basically, they thought they were going to platoon him, and I can't remember which random goofbag that they signed that they thought was going to signal the death of Danny Valencia, but it was like some idiot that they signed it's been meaningless. Valencia plays pretty much every day, like, you know, like
he's very disrespectful to these Major League Baseball players.
It was like a Chesler Cuthbert level player. You know what I'm saying? Somebody that didn't really matter, but no.
Somebody was really good, like Xander Bogaerts.
No, it was not that. But I mean, I liked him. I basically think he's having a late career power surge breakout, and I believe in it. So, I mean, not to the point of like Jose Bautista where he turned into an all-star or anything like that, but I think he's going to turn into a viable starting third baseman and a guy that you can for sure have as your corner infielder, and I just traded for him to be my starting third baseman in the Dynasty League, and so I believe in it. I think he's going to hit 20, 25 home runs and hit close to 300, actually. At least 270, 280, I mean, you know, whatever.
Yeah, no, I could see that, and he is maintained. You know, the only thing when we brought him up in the third base preview in the preseason is I wasn't necessarily sure if he could maintain the gains that he made against right-handed pitching.
But he has so far.
But he has, yeah, that's the thing. And of course, he missed some time, so that's kind of a bummer. But yeah, he's doing everything that he did last year. You know, so
yeah, it's kind of like a. And, you know, like, and just to reference that trade, like, I don't know if anybody will think this is funny, but I do. I made an offer for Danny Valencia to a guy who just didn't look at the offer. Like, I made an offer at the time that I made it.
Well, this is friend of the podcast, Van Shipley.
Oh, yeah, Van Shipley. Yeah, he might even listen. He's got his own podcast. Let's go and check out the Backup Catcher out there on iTunes. Nate's been on it at one point.
At one point.
The Nate episode of The Backup Catcher was pretty hilarious, actually. I really enjoyed that one. It was like 2 hours, and I was laughing the whole time, pretty much. It was actually a really good episode. But yeah, I offered the trade to him with Danny Valencia having zero home runs. And by the time we finally made a deal, he had six. And this was like 3 days, you know, is all it took. I mean, he just, you know, went just a three-homer game and a two-homer game, and then he hit another one all within like 4 days. So
yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, that'll do it. So I kind of bought high on him, but I believe in him.
Yeah, unfortunate timing. But yeah, I mean, even as you said, as a corner bat, if you're in a 12-team league that uses corner infield, I think he's totally worth your time.
Right.
It's too bad that the A's lineup sucks so hard, you know, so that's going to kind of limit his value a little bit. But as long as he's hitting you taters and getting on base, and I mean, the rest is kind of out of his hands.
I got a random injection.
Okay.
It doesn't have anything to do with baseball, but
is it cocaine?
It is. It's injecting cocaine.
Do you inject cocaine?
It's true or false? Danny Valencia is a character name in the 1992 movie My Cousin Vinny?
I'm going to go with true, because why the hell else would you have said that? But I don't.
Yeah, that seems like a giveaway.
It's totally false. I made it up. This is great. All right, we can move on.
Jesse, that's the funniest thing you've ever said.
Oh, I'm laughing so hard I'm on mute right now.
Joe, do you have any comment on what just happened?
I was actually reading Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I totally missed it, and I'm not even kidding.
Oh,
my God. I'll hear it when I listen to the podcast.
Yeah, you just missed the funniest thing Jesse's ever said.
I honestly, we got a tweet, so I got the notification, and I was reading it to see whether or not we wanted to read it live on the air, and, you know, it's really not that good. So.
Oh, God.
But we got a tweet, you know, so I was like, oh, let me check this out. So I totally missed it. I'm sorry. Edit out everything I just said.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
No. Moving on, Steve Pierce.
Yeah.
Did he quit it, or, you know, just kind of sit there and don't do anything with the guy?
I think I'm going to go with Danny Valencia. For me, was a
I'm still laughing.
A definite hit it. I don't know if there's. I wish I could, like, rewind time. You know, I'm like, I wish I could rewind it. Well, I'm not recording.
Turn
it.
Back time.
Yeah, so I got no idea.
Find a way.
I assume tomorrow I'll be able to listen to
Vinny again.
I could make you just retell the joke, like, it was real life, but I hate to make the viewers suffer through hearing
it's
it.
It's something that you just had to be there for, Joe, and you just weren't here.
But I was there. I just wasn't listening. No, so Valencia, I'm hitting it for sure. You know, really like that guy. Steve Pierce, I'm just going to kind of sit there and, you know, like, don't do anything with the guy. He's not bad, and he should get more playing time with the Kiermaier injury. But I can't get too on board with him. There's not a lot of upside there.
See, Pierce was already getting.
He's got the middle infield eligibility.
Well, with Logan Forsythe also on the DL, he's already been getting full time at bats. Because
yeah, he's going to play. I didn't say he wasn't going to play.
Yeah, he's like you said, eligible at second base, outfield. I think maybe even corner. I should look it up, but yeah, very. He's very flexible. He's very bendy for your team.
Oh, you can bend the shit out of that guy.
Yeah, very weird play discipline number so far. Walking more than he's striking out, which is...
He's definitely got corner. He's first, second, and outfield.
Yeah, there you go. So you can play him all over the freaking place. So he should be owned in deep leagues because he's been hot, and he's been another guy who's hitting both...
He's 45% owned in Yahoo, though.
So. Okay, yeah. So he's pretty highly owned now. But yeah, definitely ride him while he's hot. I mean, you remember when he was an Oriole and he had that ridiculous streak out of literally nowhere. I don't even think he was on a team, and then they picked him up, and he just had a ridiculous half a season.
Yeah. I do remember that.
Yeah, so if he does that again, hey, perfect. You're gonna get a lot of free stats for like nothing.
Steve Pierce. Steve Pierce is so hot that he's also a U.S. representative in the state of New Mexico.
That one went well over both.
That's false. I'm gonna get it's false.
That is actually true.
Jesse trivia.
That is actually
that's not true.
True. That is true.
That's not the same Steve Pierce.
It's not the same.
That's
Steve
also
Pierce,
true,
but it's.
See, Joe, if you would have been paying attention the first time.
But you got to let everybody know you're talking about the Baltimore Orioles, Steve Pierce, and not the U.S. representative, Steve Pierce.
Well, he's no longer on the Orioles. He's with the Tampa Bay Rays now.
Oh, man, I really screwed it up.
Yeah, see, you got this is your third Steve Pierce. You're wrong on the first two.
The first one was also about Steve Pierce?
Don't worry about it, Joe.
Was that what the joke was? I don't know.
It was not.
Okay.
Good God. I hope you're happy with yourself. No, I'm hitting it with the Steve Pierce.
Okay.
Unless you're in a really shallow league, you know. But anything outside of 10-team leagues, I would say give him a shot.
Okay.
Especially if you're filling in for an injury, I guess Kiermaier wasn't owned in those kind of leagues anyway. So, yeah, deeper leagues, Pierce. Brandon Guyer sticking with the Rays. Another guy with a similar, you know, lefty hitting profile.
He's the kind of guy I can get on board with.
Ugh.
Was it that bad?
Yeah.
I mean, you pretty much had to expect something like that, didn't you?
You're not my guyer, buddy.
You're not my guyer, friend. I'm not your buddy, guyer.
There you go.
Yeah. Stuff like that. That's what we're going
to
say.
So on and
so forth. Way to complete the joke.
Yeah. And so on and so forth. I'm not your friend, buddy.
Not your buddy, guy. We should move on and probably talk about Guy. Are you, what are you doing with him?
Okay. If I'm in like a 15 team league and beyond, or 14 even, whatever, then I would hit that in that case, as if it was a fine weed joint.
Interesting.
The reason I would is because kind of like he might play more now. Like it, you know, I mean, but yeah. they do like to platoon him. I don't necessarily need him to get more at bats. I think if you're in a deep league, like a 15 team league, like sometimes you know you look for a guy that gets every day at bats and you play him, and you know you just end up hurting your team anyway. I mean, as long as he's going to play, you know, 3-4 games a week, you know, it's good enough. I mean, as long as he's going to crush lefties, that's all you want, you know. I mean, if like right now he's 382 OBP on the season, or I'm sorry, 410 OBP on the season, 5 homers and a steal, like, so it's kind of the fact that he's not going to play all the time and just have like a ridiculously low OBP and kill you. It's kind of a good thing in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate owning players. Like, just, you know, with recently I said Mitch Moreland. I mean, there's a lot of other examples. Like, I own Chris Davis in the podcast league forever. Well, having Chris Davis play every day and hit 090 is not beneficial when he, you know, for him to be playing every day. I mean, So, you know, sometimes having a guy plug him in and, you know, he doesn't hurt your ratios. He hits you a homer here and there. I mean, if that's your fifth outfielder, there's nothing wrong with that. You can't have an entire outfield full of those players because you won't get enough stats. But when it's your fifth outfielder, your utility player, you know, that's fine.
Yeah, in a 15-team league, mixed league.
Yes,
in a 15. That's fine, yeah. And that's the only place that I'd be excited to grab him in. Hitting righties right now, but typically doesn't do that. So, you know, another guy kind of ride him while he's hot, but really the bottom could drop out at any point. So I'm the most tepid, I think, on him than any of these three hitters. So I'm just going to, you know, kind of sit there and don't do anything with the guy. I'm just going to leave him on the waiver wire.
Fair enough. I would leave him on the waiver wire in anything other than 15-team leagues and deeper, or only leagues.
Yeah, even then, I would definitely rank him third amongst these guys. I'd rather have Pierce and Geyer.
Yeah, I could see that, yeah. I agree.
Junior Guerra for the Milwaukee Brewers.
I think I'm going to quit this guy.
You're going to quit him?
Yeah, I got no analysis on it, though. Just don't like him. Junior, like what, you couldn't think of a real name?
It's kind of comical. The guy's 31 years old, and his name is Junior.
I mean, exactly.
At some point, you should probably find a different first name.
I think so. I mean, yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm
you're still Junior, and yeah, I mean, come on, grow up.
You should be Senior Guerra by this point. Or
if you're still not Senior Guerra by now, you got problems.
Middle-aged Guerra.
Well, he basically is that, yeah. I can't get too excited about a 32-year-old that's making his debut basically this year.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm missing the boat, but you know that's what it is. That's why I'm going to kind of say meh.
He's not a tremendously exciting profile. He did strike out 11 Cubs, which was very impressive. You know, so there's that. He's getting a lot of swinging strikes this year. His swinging strikes are up a lot, up to 13%, which is really high, actually. And his ERA is 3.96 through four starts. His FIP is 3.14. So, you know, he's underperformed a little bit. But, I mean.
Yeah, it's too small a sample for that, if you ask me.
Well, I mean, sure it is, but I'm just saying to this point, he has, you know. He's got pretty decent peripherals. Not quite a strikeout printing, but pretty close. You know, league average control. So there's that. I think he's a 15-team streamer.
If you want to stream him, I got no problem with that. But I wouldn't be adding him and expecting anything out of him.
Yeah.
So, can stream anybody.
Well, sure. But I'd be, you know, pretty optimistic, I guess, about him as compared to streaming. The first guy that came to mind was Bartolo Colon, but even he's probably
okay.
I mean, he's been really good for some stupid reason.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah. Well, I just stream Matt Moore, and that didn't exactly work out. So I mean,
What about Junior Guerra or fellow Brewer Chase Anderson?
And well, I mean, they're both streaming options in my book. I mean,
so which one are you looking at first in a 15-team mixed league?
like, who would I be happier to stream in a good matchup?
Yes.
If it's the same matchup, like they're playing a weekend series against the Braves, and
hypothetically,
I got
we're playing on top of Mount Everest against the.
Well, no, I mean you could really say that. Like, let's say I'm in our points league, in our 10-team points league, and they're both out there, you know, on the waiver wire. So Friday Anderson starting and Saturday Garrett starting, I can pick. Who do I want for the same matchup? So I mean, it's a fair question. I guess I'd probably take Garrett just because of the strikeout upside, even if it's only, you know, I don't necessarily trust it to continue as a kind of a ride the hot hand thing, which is a weird thing to say because Chase Anderson just almost had a perfect game like 2 weeks ago. But
he has been, yeah, oddly hot.
Yeah, and I streamed him actually just this last week and he kind of got beat up a little bit, but...
Yeah.
You know, Chase Anderson to me is, I feel like I know what he is more. He's more of a known quantity at this point, whereas Garrett's... He's not younger. He's just, you know, hasn't done. He just has fewer starts in the majors, so maybe hitters have seen him less. So I mean, I can't say he really has more upside, but you know, maybe until major league batters figure him out a little bit, he'll have some success. So for right now, I would say in a streaming matchup next week, I would take Garrett, but for the rest of the season, I would still take Anderson.
Yeah.
Did that answer make any sense at all?
No.
Okay.
Now, you know, looking at his Garrett's swinging strike rate, like I mentioned, 13%. His first pitch strike rate, pretty low, actually, 56%. And his minor league walk rates, his career walk rates, are higher than what he's shown so far for the most part. So I think there might actually be a little regression as far as his control is concerned. So, you know, not too out. Like I said, I stick with my initial streaming option. So in 15 team mixed league. So I pretty much agree with. I think the rest of the season. I mean, God, I guess I don't know. I would probably take Guerra, but I'm not.
You mean versus Chase Anderson?
Yeah, but I'm not willing to bet on it. I don't feel good about that. They both suck.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Anderson. I don't know if he. Yeah, they both suck. Let's
in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, in the grand scheme.
They're middling starting pitchers.
Yeah, that's what they are. Nick Tropiano, however.
However, yes. What do you think about him? I forgot to set one of my lineups last night in one of my leagues, and I missed out on his 6 2/3 shutout innings. It angered me.
Yeah, you know, he's not on here, but I just recently, and I would have lost anyway, but in our points league, I streamed Michael Fulmer for his 11th strikeout game. Streamed him right onto my bench and didn't put him
oh, no.
70 points on the bench or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
But I lost by like 150, so it didn't matter. But yeah, that's a bummer. But anyway, so yeah, I'm pretty excited. You know, we said last week... you know, none of the rookie pitchers have really blown anyone out of the water, and he's coming the closest to doing it now. Every start, he kind of looks a little bit better.
Yeah, I like...
Not to derail this talk, but yeah, he's been looking good. But anyway, I also, a couple different occasions, I've actually streamed Tropiano in that league. I stream pitchers a ton in that league, so I'm...
That's kind of the name of the game.
Yeah, if there's a pitcher, I've probably streamed him. Jesse hasn't streamed a pitcher in 6 years, but, you know, whatever. That's what he does. I stream 1-3 a week, but...
Listen, one move a month is his...
He still hasn't had time to drop Greg Holland. It's hard for him to stream pitching, but...
True.
But no, Tropiano, I would say hit it. I think he's by far the superior pitcher to Junior Guerra, who can't even become Senior Guerra. So, I mean, he's got some, I think, you know, 8 strikeout per 9 upside. He struck out over 10 guys in the minors at certain points of his career. I think, you know, I think he could strike out, you know, 8.85, something like that, as his K9, and have a decent ERA. Right now it's 2.8. I think it'll pop up near the, you know, 3.5 range. He's outpitching his peripherals at this point. But, you know, last year he actually was really unlucky. This year he's getting a little bit lucky. I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle, which is around a 3.4, 3.5 ERA. But if he can strike out, you know, 8.5 batters per 9, you know, I think that's a good pitcher.
Yeah, if he can keep the strikeouts out, he's going to keep that strand rate up. And he can definitely keep the strikeouts. I mean, we talked about 13% with Junior Guerra, which is very interesting. Tropiano's right behind him, 12.6% swinging strike rate. And he's shown a better first pitch strike rate, 60%. So,
well, he's just a better prospect, better, you know.
Sure. Yeah. And he is, you know, he's a fly ball pitcher, which I generally stay away from, but pitching in Anaheim, pretty big stadium, so that'll help keep your BABIP low, which is actually, his is 314 right now, so that could maybe even go down a little bit. He's not giving up a ton of line drives. Hard contact, not that bad, 34.7%. You'd like to see that go down a little bit, but as long as he's missing bats, he's going to keep the K rate up. I mean, that's going to keep him interesting in mixed leagues.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's... It could be definitely like a 12-team mixed league. I think he's for sure a guy you should own.
Yeah, and I say that, you know, pitching in Anaheim should help with the, you know, the fly ball-iness of him, but he's given up a home run and a quarter per nine so far, so that's not good.
Yeah, but it could be two per nine if he was pitching in a worse park.
Indeed, yeah. So, I mean, he's another guy I still say, you know, he's a guy in a 15-team mixed league I would hang on to, you know, I'd pick him up and I'd hang on to him, but I would probably just spot start him until, you know, he's shown a little bit more consistency.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's not a bad strategy. I mean, you know, cause it's like in our 15 team dynasty league, I own about 12 starting pitchers, or I own a ton of starting pitchers, you know, and I don't have any hitters on my bench. I don't start them all every start though, because, you know, you'll get crushed. Like Tyler Duffy I own, for instance, and, you know, if he's got a bad matchup, you know, I there's no way I'm putting that guy in, but in the right matchups, these guys are useful.
Yeah, and Tyler Duffy's another one who's been just really surprisingly good, and I think that he should be owned. And I mean, he's now mixed leagues, he's just sort of standard mixed leagues, you know, 10, 12 team leagues, he's probably a stream or two. But I mean, even him compared to Tropiano, I think I might rather have Tyler Duffy.
They'd be close. I'd take Tropiano, but it's close.
He's definitely got more strikeout upside than Duffy.
Yeah, well, Duffy, I think, is going to strike hitters out too with that curveball. He just doesn't have as good a fastball. But I mean, you know, that curveball is a weapon, and it also gets ground balls too. So and that's why I like Duffy. I just think when he gets in the wrong environment, and when he goes to Toronto and stuff like that, there's just certain times he's just going to get lit up. But
he's you know, I don't...
in a good matchup, I think he can, you know, get strikeout. You know, I think against a really potent offense, I don't know if his fastball is good enough and he ends up getting hammered, but, like, you know, against bad offense, but worse offenses and in good pitching parks, he's a really good option, I think.
Yeah, swinging strike rate is only 8.4% for Duffy, so it seems like he's been using that curve more for grounders, you know, in weak contact than for strikeouts.
Yeah, but he also isn't going to get any swingy strikes or strikeouts with this fastball because it was going to be 92, 93, and so that too. I mean, really the curveball is his only weapon for getting strikeouts. But
yeah, so the K is lower with Duffy, but I would feel better rostering him. But yeah, there are in the same stratosphere as far as I'm concerned. I agree with you there as far as, you know, own them in a 15-team mixer, play the matchups with them.
Yeah, I'm still playing the matchups. Just because you own them doesn't mean you have to start them every time. You don't have to own them and start them and they have a bad start and then you just drop them. You know, just keep them on the own bench and use them whenever.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all she wrote. Short episode this week.
It really wasn't that short. It's
no
still
BS.
Was an hour,
well,
wasn't it?
Shorter. Yeah, I suppose it was about an hour. But yeah, we had to kind of crunch to get the show in this week. So apologies, we couldn't go a little deeper and get the BS in like normal. Maybe if Jesse has some ambition, we'll get a special bonus episode. Maybe.
But you know, really, if you think about it, we should probably try and not have 2-hour episodes every time. I mean,
no, I do agree. Yeah.
This felt good. I think an hour episode every now and again might be just what the doctor ordered.
I agree. No, nothing to say for yourself, Jesse?
For me?
Yeah.
I was trying to say maybe in July, but Joe just keeps speaking over me, so it doesn't matter.
Railroaded you.
That's my job. I'm the co-host here.
If there's no BS, there's really no reason for me to be here, so...
apparently you piped in with some hilarious My Cousin Vinny joke that I missed, yeah, so there was that.
Yeah,
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
The rare Jesse appearance that paid off today.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Well, back to doing what I do best.
He's going to drink and he's going to not put the podcast out.
Drink and be on mute.
Okay.
Your wife will be grateful. All right, until next week, folks. May the fantasy gods shine upon you.